nice week. Have a nice rest of the evening.
Yes.
And a refreshing rest.
Sweet dreams. That's what I tell Dee all the time. Sweet dreams.
Lift your hands to him. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I know you have eyes to see.
I know we have eyes to see.
And I have eyes to see.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
And my heart is perceiving.
You're trying to tell me something.
You're trying to tell me something.
I'm ready now.
I'm ready now.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go to Isaiah 54 because it came in at least 7 or 8 times. And
Isaiah 54, you said?
54. And I've got the little Passion Translation of 54 because of the extra little
Those
footnotes.
Those are such a blessing. Oh,
they are.
I was going over 2 Peter this afternoon and just reviewing it and, you know, personalizing it.
Yes.
And you just sit there and you go, wow.
Yeah. It's making it alive.
Right. You know, it's not all in, you know, but I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
But I'm waiting for it to do.
It'll go deeper.
All
yeah, it'll go deeper.
I think this was the scripture that Lisa got last week when she was going in. Not last week, the week before. I think.
That could be. Well, I know that this word came to me years back at Grace Church, and I had a very hard time at that time to go and give it, so they would have been in the early 80s. That this word came, and it was very difficult for me to get up, and I had to fight the soul. So there's a memory of this, but the heading is God's Tender Love for Zion.
Is it the right in verse 1?
Verse 1.
Okay.
God's Tender Love for Zion. Now, Zion, of course, was his first love, and Israel is connected. So it says, rejoice with singing, you barren one. You who have never given birth, burst into song of joy, and shout, you who have never been in labor. For the deserted wife will have more children than the married one, says Yahweh. Increase is coming, so enlarge your tent and add extensions to your dwelling. Hold nothing back. Make the tent ropes longer and the pegs stronger. You will increase and spread out in every direction. Your sons and daughters will conquer nations. Now notice again, it's no longer singular now. At this verse, verse 3, sons with an S and daughters with an S will conquer nations and revitalize desolate cities. Well, that wasn't happening except when Israel was destroyed and recaptured and repaired, okay? Also, it's happening now since 1948. They're redoing. So you've got to remember that this word can be applied at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do not fear, for your shame is no more. Do not be embarrassed, for you will not be disgraced. You will forget the inadequacy you felt in your youth and will no longer remember the shame of your widowhood. For your maker is your husband. His name is Yahweh, commander of angel armies. I like the part, commander of angel armies. Your kinsman redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He has the title, Mighty God of all the earth. And I looked up on that one and that was kind of cool. For I, Yahweh, have invited you to come back, like a depressed, deserted wife, like a young wife who has experienced rejection. I am drawing you back to me, says Yahweh. For just a brief moment, I deserted you. That lasted roughly 2,000 years. But with tender feelings of love, I will gather you back to me in a surge of anger for just the briefest moment. Now this, for me, made a little nudge in how God thinks. He calls it, let's say 1,800 years, a brief moment. Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
Brief moment.
Mm. So in his perspective, as he's looking at Israel, as he's looking at the church, 2,000 years is a brief moment. Your mind, my mind, takes a real a challenge, I guess is the best word. Okay? I hid my face from you, but with everlasting kindness I will show you my cherishing love, says Yahweh, your kinsman redeemer. To me, this is like the time when I vowed that the waters of Noah's flood would never again cover the earth. Now I vow to you that I will neither be angry with you nor rebuke you. So now he's really saying, my love is going to overrule all of my other emotions. Even if the mountains were to crumble and the hills disappear, my heart of steadfast, faithful love will never leave you. And my covenant of peace with you will never be shaken, says Yahweh, whose love and compassion will never give up on you. Whose love and compassion. Now, the footnote on compassion was quite impressive. It says the Hebrew word for compassion is rakam, means to love deeply like a mother's love. Rakam is a homonym for womb, with an implication that God's love is like the love of a mother carrying a child in her womb. That's pretty cool. How tight can you get that connection? See, we know his spirit is within our spirit, but when you girls carry that child, and when you girls are sleeping, and the husband gets a kick from the child in his back, he knows there's someone else in there kicking. And I'll never forget that. I'll never, 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 never forget it. Because we had a very active firstborn. And before he came out of there, he was a lot, let's say, of activity to put up with. So God will restore, just the heading for before verse 11. You unhappy one, storm-tossed and troubled, I am ready to rebuild you with precious stones, and your intimacy with me will be built on a foundation of sapphires. I will make your towers of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and your walls, which means protection, of precious, delightful stones. All your children will be taught by Yahweh. We're experiencing that even tonight as we were giving out. You're experiencing it on a one-to-one basis. Him and you seeing his ability to take you higher and teaching you what the book says. You know what the book says, but living it is something different. Having it as a part of your day is a very big change. And great will be their peace and prosperity. You will be established in righteousness. Oppression be far from you. Fear be far from you. Yes, terror will not come near you, nor will you be afraid. So that's a prophetic word for the church. If anyone dares to stir up strife against you, it is not from me. Those who challenge you will go down to defeat. Did you hear that? So what kind of a chance do they have? They're going to have to face the Lord. And that's what you're describing when you said Johnny Enlow showed you the choices that are going to be bringing about are going to expose what's been done and how much has been done. Verse 16, see, I am the one who created the craftsman who fans the coals into a fire and forges a weapon fit for its purpose. And I am the one who created the destroyer to destroy. That part is hard for, I believe, the average soul, and I stress the word soul, mind, will, and emotions, to comprehend. Because we would have liked to be without all that testing.
Yeah, I can remember once I asked one of the pastors, he wasn't really a pastor, he was a minister. Pastors have a very different calling than a minister. And I asked him about that passage. He poo-pooed it. He said, oh, no. He says, no, the Lord didn't do that. And I'm thinking,
that's what he says.
That's what it says.
Well, I can understand it because, again, when you're raising a family and you're watching the children's actions and reactions, you know who's pushing their buttons. Hmm. Well, God knows who's pushing my buttons and yours. And he didn't leave us in that condition.
Thank God.
That's the Redeemer's work. So there was an ultimate purpose when he created man. He had already provided a Redeemer.
Right.
And a Messiah before. So the destroyer showed up because he made a choice. Angels had free will. They could choose to serve God or not. And that's what I was telling Irene this morning. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. That was a temptation. If you eat this apple, we use an apple, but I mean, I don't know what kind of a fruit it is. But your eyes will be open and then you'll be like God. Well, who doesn't want to be like God? It was very good. Yeah. Now, she was deceived, but he was not. Mm. That's what the insult is. Adam purposed to reject his creator and his father. Mm-hmm. And that's when the lights went out. So, 17, but I promise you no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed. No weapon formed against me mm-hmm. shall prosper. Mm-hmm. And you will refute every accusing word. Now I put a footnote on this one. You will refute, okay? The word that transitions that word is condemn. You will refute or you will condemn every accusing word spoken against you. I don't have a good habit in that area. I can say that I can go there once in a while when something is spoken against me, whether it's in my head as a word of accusation or whether it's someone speaking. For me to condemn the accusing word against me is still a place where I know I need help. I'm not where I'd like to be, let's say it this way. I may not be where I was, because once in a while, the lights will go on, and who are you listening to? Have you refused?
That was the scripture that got me through the sciatica in 2013.
Yep.
I spoke that thing, I don't know, hundreds of times, yeah, loud.
Yeah.
And that was the scripture. So to this day, I'm still...
You're accustomed and you're using it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I get that attack, and it doesn't have to be a person.
No.
It's just a spirit that's
attacking.
It's
just the negative force that's operating.
Attacking.
Yeah, and he's attacking. He's outside looking in.
Yeah.
And he wants in. So again, I promise you no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed, and you will refute or condemn every accusing word spoken against you. This promise is the inheritance of Yahweh's servants, with an S, that's the corporate church, and their vindication is from me, says Yahweh. So your vindication is from him. And I can tell you that when you're aware that there is witchcraft going on against you, that's when you should speak up. In the name of Jesus, I will not receive this. I will not receive what's being done against me. I condemn those words, and I will not take them in.
Now, how
in
do you
Jesus'
know
name.
It's witchcraft
you
or?
Just know it.
Oh.
You just know it.
Okay.
Okay? Your knower is going to know it. You're not going to hear. You're just going to know. This is not normal. Usually for me, it's because I've stepped out in faith or did something in obedience. And one of the signals is usually lower back pain.
Yeah, I get that quite often.
Okay. So now when that happens, and you know you didn't do anything, the accuser tells you you bent down too much or you stretched too much or you did this
you
too much.
You lifted something heavy.
Right. All a bunch of lies. No! Whatever is being spoken against me, I condemn it now. I will not receive those words in Jesus' name. Because your mouth creates.
Amen.
And you either speak life or death.
Correct.
Okay? Well, this stuff is coming to kill, mm-hmm, and to steal and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So put your hands up. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
It's time for us to see.
It's time for us to see.
To respond.
To respond.
And say no more.
And say no more.
These words that are spoken against me.
These words that are spoken against me.
I don't need to agree with.
I don't need to agree with.
I condemn those words to death.
I condemn those words to death.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
They will not affect me.
They will not affect me.
And my Father's on my case.
And my Father's on my case.
He's going to refute the garbage.
He's going to refute the garbage.
And I'm in agreement.
And I'm in agreement.
And I will speak up.
And I will speak up.
In order to reject.
In order to reject.
Whatever war games are happening against us.
Whatever war games are happening against us.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Whether individually.
Whether individually.
Or corporately.
Or corporately.
They will not succeed.
They will not succeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.